You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And we're live. Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast live edition. I'm Anthony Irwin. I almost said Anthony Harrison, and that's Fagan Irwin. Nope, I am. It was a tough game. I'm taking it kind of hard. But I am Anthony Irwin. That is Harrison Fagan. He works for Lakers Nation. I work for Lakers Outsiders. We are going to talk about a overtime loss to the New York Knicks. The Lakers fall 109-113. It was kind of a weird game, though, right? Because it was the worst game that Brandon Ingram has played all year. One of the better games that we've seen from Lonzo Ball. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope shot 14 three-pointers, and Julius Randle decided tonight was a night he was just going to run over everybody in his path. So the end result is, like I said, that tough loss. We are going to talk about that. We're going to talk about right after the game. It was reported by Ramona Shelburne that the Lakers have told LeVar Ball that Let's pump the brakes a little bit.
During the game, actually, it was reported, but it hasn't started making the rounds yet because I guess they decided to wait till after the game.
But, yeah. So. Yeah. But that was a report from Ramona. We're going to talk about that a little bit, and then if anything else comes up in your comments or in questions from Twitter, we will get to those as well. As always, make sure you're following the show on Megaphone/Panoply, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, Spotify, Alexa, Lakers Nation, and Lakers Outsiders. Let's get this thing going. Harrison, probably not the best night after we spent 5-10 minutes arguing about Lonzo Ball and Brandon Ingram and Julius Randle for the latter two guys to just say, nah, we aren't going to play well tonight.
Yeah, so I think the real question that we have to ask here is it time to start worrying about Brandon Ingram? Oh, no, wait, we did that show, and you were very worried about Brandon Ingram, and it turned out he was just fine, but yeah, he was not good to start the game tonight. He started getting a couple baskets in the third and fourth quarters, and he played a little bit better down the stretch, but I noticed throughout the game, it seemed like he was kind of getting switched off onto Kristaps Porzingis, and I wonder if that wore him down a little bit, because the Lakers just were really not trying to get around that switch. They were just letting it happen, and the Knicks were very, very clearly targeting it. I think Porzingis finished with like 37 or something, and he was really, really good, and it was in large part because they kept switching Ingram onto him, and he's just good in general, and so if you give him an advantage, aside from the one time Ingram swatted him straight up, then he's going to kind of be able to like get buckets on you. He's done that on everybody this year. Mm-hmm. And so I'm wondering if all of that might have fatigued Ingram a little bit on the defensive end, and then that maybe led to some of his shooting struggles.
I think there's some of that. One thing that I noticed early in the game, this was the first game, I think, that Brandon Ingram consistently saw length that really affected him, right? Like, Kristaps Porzingis is the longest player in the league, I think. 7'3", huge wingspan. He's mobile enough to actually utilize it. So I think in this one, Brandon Ingram attacked the rim early on in the game, and he was met at the rim by Kristaps Porzingis.
Yeah, and like we just said, we were like long meets longer.
That was the play where Porzingis like hammered the ball down. I think he scored on the other end as well. And that was one of those for Ingram. It's like, holy crap, somebody's up near me at the rim. And I really think that affected what he was trying to do for the remainder of the game. You saw him kind of going to shoot the ball a little bit more from the outside than he normally does. And he just, at one point, he was 0 for 10 to start the game. And it's just, it's those games are going to happen. It's just too bad it happened in New York.
Yeah, and then he ended up finishing 2 of 12, so literally he got a couple buckets later in the game. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this was probably, like you said, his worst game of the year. And it's just great that it happened in front of the very like laid-back New York media. Mm-hmm. And he's definitely not going to get blasted or asked a bunch of like unnecessarily hard questions after the game or anything like that.
I'm sure everybody's going to handle this perfectly in stride. And look, even while he struggled, struggled shooting the basketball. He did finish with 7 rebounds, 5 assists, a steal, and a block. He did have the 5 turnovers.
He did everything he normally does to fill up the box score. He just didn't shoot well. And that's going to happen, especially when you spend the night in New York.
Is he old enough to take advantage of that kind of
stuff? I can't imagine he did.
I don't think it matters.
It's just, it's Ingram. He probably, like, him and Lonzo were, like, playing Xbox in the hotel or something. Somebody asked Lonzo about what he was enjoying about being in New York for the first time. And he said, other than the pop-up shop that he did for Big Baller Brand, he did not go outside. He just stayed in his hotel the whole time and just, like, I don't know, like, watched Netflix. I don't know.
Netflix and chilled with Ingram?
Okay, I don't think you understand what that actually means. You're too old. No.
I'm an old man.
Yeah. So, just moving on. Speaking of Lonzo Ball, he was also, like, he was all right tonight. He was okay.
Yeah, he was fine. I thought he played. He had that one stretch, right?
Yeah.
Where it was similar to the Warriors game. Yeah, it was similar to the Warriors game where I think he dunked the ball, made a 3-pointer. It just so happens that the Knicks were trading buckets with him, so it didn't really affect the scoreboard. But he hit the 3, he assisted on a 3, and then he banged into Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. And he wasn't really the same from that point forward.
Yeah, I think it's time to ask the question, is it time to worry about whether or not Lonzo Ball can stay healthy while playing well? Because we've seen that he can stay healthy while playing badly, but we haven't necessarily seen that he can stay healthy while playing well.
The bigger question is whether Kentavious Caldwell-Pope has it out for Ball. That's the big one, right? I mean, Pope is out there. He's like, look, guys, I was trying to get 23-pointers up. Lonzo's out there making threes. This is bull crap. Ball crap.
I need to get paid this summer.
Yeah. Oh, man, you bumped into my knee. That's too bad. We are going to continue talking about the game and all the other factors in it. Because, again, it was just one of those weird games. It's kind of hard to analyze, but we're going to try.
It was a fun game between two young teams.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Twitter was a buzz about it. It was a good one. We're going to talk about that more in a second. So, Lonzo plays okay. He finishes the game with 17 points.
This has been assists. Watch Anthony read a box score on live on
this,
camera.
This is not unlike what James Worthy does. He just does it in a deeper voice. But he finishes the game with 17 points, 6 assists, 8 rebounds on 5 of 13 shooting. That's one of the better lines that he's had this year, right? And you can always tell he's
no one is going to be asking after this game who is the better young prospect, Lonzo Ball or Frank Ntilikina. That debate is dead. I'm going to call it right here. That debate that everybody was talking about very, very clearly, Lonzo Ball. Lonzo Ball won. That was a huge, huge talking point going into the draft.
I just want to say, like, it's too bad because I sent out the tweet, and it's funny because I sent out a tweet asking, like, how was this ever a talk? How was this ever a discussion between Lonzo Ball and Frank Ntilikina? How is this ever a thing? And had I not been managing Lakers Outsiders Twitter account, I would have replied to myself, this has everything to do with expectations. Like, nobody cared about Frank Ntilikina until he was drafted by the Knicks. And then after he was drafted by the Knicks, well, he happens to have
No one cared who he was before he put on this jersey.
Like, Nick is basically in his name, and nobody looked to make that pun. Nobody. It just tells me
that's nobody cared. That's what's most disappointing to you.
Look, it's a highly analytical approach to looking what people say about rookies, but it's my process. Leave me alone.
I will soon leave you alone if you continue to do this.
But you're embarrassing
me on the internet in front of my friends, Dad.
I was also going to say that you can always tell beyond what he's doing on the court, but you can always tell on Twitter that Lonzo Ball is playing pretty well because you have certain voices. Because nobody's
talking about Lonzo Ball
anymore. Certain voices aren't necessarily saying anything about it. I'm not going to name any names, Nani Drippin, but I'm just, this is a thing that is a consistent trend at this point. Moving on from there, unless you have anything else to add.
Nope.
We have a perfect point to segue here talking about Lonzo, considering his dad was sitting courtside. And apparently some people were noticing that LeVar was coaching Lonzo from the sidelines. I'm sure that'll go over very well.
What, is this really?
Yeah, that was actually happening. Somebody tweeted out there that, like, did anybody else hear LeVar Ball coaching his son.
That's unbelievable. I love LeVar Ball so much. He's like the helicopter parent that just like followed their son to the NBA.
It's legitimately unmitigated gall.
Yeah. Like we've both coached youth teams. Mm-hmm. And there's always that one parent on the team mm-hmm. that's like yelling out contrary instructions. They're like telling their kid to go get their own, like all this stuff. And you're sitting there gritting your teeth the whole game. You're like, how many quarters do I have to go before I tell this person to shut the hell up? And it was usually about 1.5, but I don't know how that goes for you.
I've put you on blast for your coaching story. I'll put myself on blast for one. Are you ready for it? It's a doozy. It's a good one. So I had a point guard who would do literally anything I would tell him to do. One of my favorite kids that I've ever coached. I'm not going to name names because I don't know what he's doing now. But he was getting yelled at by the parent whose kid was backing him up, and the parent wanted his son to play over this starting point guard who I really liked.
Yeah.
So it came, it was a free throw situation where I was able to pull the point guard to me on the sideline, and I told him, look, next play, I want you to, the parent was sitting right there on the sideline, next play, I want you to fire a fastball at that dad. Let it rip.
That's definitely worse than anything I did while I was coaching.
Well, he did it. It hit the dad in the face, and he didn't talk anymore. He might have been concussed.
And Anthony no longer has a job, so now
he's now here. I'm here talking to you, kind folks.
Yeah, so we problem solved
for everybody.
Anyway, as far as LeVar Ball, the report came out obviously via Ramona Shelburne tonight, and I don't think either of us were really surprised by this that the Lakers eventually talked to him.
I mean, I've been saying it all along. Like, it was crazy to me that there were people out there who cover the team who were acting as if, like, no, the Lakers don't care about this. The Lakers don't care. It's a second-year coach, right? It's a super young roster. It's a first-year front office. It's essentially a first-year owner, right? With Jeannie Buss, this is the first year where she is in squarely in the limelight without Jim Buss there to take blame. So, of course, having the player's dad, and this is a player who you're hoping to be the face of the franchise moving forward, of course they aren't going to like his dad going out there and crapping on Luke. Of course that wasn't going over well, and of course they were going to care. It's crazy to me that anybody would think they didn't.
No, I don't think anybody thought they wouldn't care. I think there was doubt, and I had doubt, whether or not they would actually do anything about it. Mm-hmm. Because it's like, Lonzo's legally an adult. How do you talk to his dad? Like, that's like, it's a weird dynamic. I get why there were people that thought that might not happen, but you know, it did happen, and it's that LeVar's response was basically sorry, not sorry.
I get that you're saying that, like, it's a weird dynamic.
Just to paraphrase it.
Yeah, yeah. But I get that you're. Yeah, I know that was basically his response.
His response was like, they told me that if I'm going to talk to them to try, or like they said, like there was a source that said that they told him to like try and keep it positive or mm-hmm. whatever. And he just basically said like, I'm not going to hold back. I'm going to say whatever I want to say. But if they want me to talk to them first, I'll do it. Like,
and I like how he also said like he's going to plant the seed too. Like
I know what's best for my son, so I'm going to continue to tell that to the media. But like, they talk to me. So I don't
LeVar, man. Oh, man. At some point, Jordan Clarkson's going to fire a pass at LeVar Ball's face.
I think we just solved this for Luke Walton.
Luke, get at us.
Yeah. But Anthony has some coaching ideas for you.
Yeah.
Just send me Mermies and we'll host a better podcast. Uh-huh. And then Anthony will help you coach.
Speaking of coaching, I think it is worth talking about Luke and his handling of the rotations. He made some questionable calls. He tried to make up for those questionable calls late in the game. I think this was one of the first games where we actually saw some growth from him. So we are going to get to that here in a second. So Luke Walton goes and takes Julius Randle out. I remember the specific possession. And I don't know if he had already planned on taking Randle out. I highly doubt it. But Randle...
Yeah, I think Luke's probably a better coach than us and doesn't have like a pre-planned rotation sheet. Like,
yeah.
You know, because I've had that, so I'm not going to lie.
I can just see you like before a game oh, crap, where's the sheet? And then you look down the bench, or you look down the sideline, and the coach is holding your rotation seat.
It wouldn't have mattered. We were too good anyway.
But anyway, Randall, he had a turnover. I think it was an offensive foul. He committed a charge. He committed a charge, and he turned the ball over via that charge and was promptly taken out of the game. On his way back to the bench, he and Luke Walton supposedly shared a couple kind words towards each other.
Yeah, there were a couple reporters. Michael Pina of Vice Sports was saying that that Randall and Walton had words as he was subbing him out.
What do you think they said to each other?
I think it was, Coach, I really respect your decision.
Luke, thank you.
Thank you for taking me out. I was tired. And Luke was like, you're welcome, Julius. You're welcome.
Mermes is like, dude, bros, this is awesome.
Yeah.
That's just his response.
Yeah, I think that's probably true.
That's his ringtone. Dude, you're calling me. This is awesome.
Or his voicemail.
Yeah, that too. All of it.
But yeah, anyway. No, in all seriousness, I think Julius had a right to kind of be upset that he was getting pulled. And because he continued, like we talked, I tweeted this out the other day, like the Lakers' best high usage lineup is Randall at center. And like they're one of
all
like,
of their high usage lineups that are the best feature him in it.
It's true. And it's like we were watching this game together, obviously, and we were talking about in the first quarter, it's like I finally understand kind of what it was like to cover the Warriors a little bit while they were good, just in that like Bogut was pretty good.
And
just
we're
like
not saying that the Lakers are good.
Yeah, they aren't good. But it's a similar dynamic in that Bogut at the time was pretty good. And Lopez, like for the Lakers right now, is pretty good. They're all right with him on the floor.
Right.
But it's so clearly like it is so clear that they are better when Randall is playing center. And it's not anything, it's not like Lopez is terrible. It's just that they're so much better playing small ball that it's just kind of ridiculous whenever they play small ball without Randall. Or like they need him in there as that small ball center. And to see him just keep getting benched down the stretch of games is just frankly like kind of absurd.
Well, and look, it's also, it's a stark contrast in terms of production. The numbers say it, but then the eye test backs it up. It's one of those situations where you're watching the game and Lopez is on the court and his travels take place in slow motion. His floaters that miss take place in slow motion. He's wearing yellow, so he looks even more like a giraffe, shouts at Jacob Rude. So you're looking at this thing and you're saying, God, Lopez himself isn't that bad of a player. But the team gets noticeably worse when Randall isn't in the game.
Yeah, and I see Carlos saying, how do you think Lopez should balance his perimeter and interior play? And I don't even think it's a matter of that. I just think it's a matter of what you lose when not having Randall's switchability on defense and not having Randall's ability to just, like, move in space on offense and make plays.
Yeah, and look, the transition game, that's where the Lakers aren't going to be, at any point this year, a good half-court offensive team.
No,
that's
never.
That's not going to happen.
Just as I'm confident saying that Lonzo Ball has won the point guard battle between him and French Frank, I'm confident saying the Lakers are not going to be a good half-court team at any point this year.
And because of that, what Lopez does, now yes, he is a better, he contests a lot of shots, which leads to rebounds, which in theory should lead to transition opportunities. But there's a big difference between when he gets a rebound and he has to find Lonzo Ball or he has to find somebody and then they start their way down transition versus Randall gets the ball and he is a bull in a china shop running over. I mean, it's literally the running of the bulls and it's just one bull who's just running over young
tonight,
rookie, 19-year-old
point. Tonight that kind of backfired. He got a little bit of foul trouble and that's going to happen. But I think overall it's just so clear that they're better with him on the floor that to bench him for Larry Nance Jr. just doesn't make sense to me.
And again, like I was saying
earlier,
Larry
Nance Jr.
though,
just doesn't really play that well as a small ball center.
No. Well, he doesn't shoot. Like he doesn't provide spacing the way you would want the small ball center to be able to
and he's not like a good enough rim protector to make up for it.
No. And but to Luke's credit, he recognized the issue, and Randall played all of the overtime.
Yep.
And look, they lost the game, so some people are going to play the result. But to me, process matters more than results.
Yeah, and I think that process was correct there. They had some like questionable plays down the stretch. They probably settled for some shots. Mm-hmm. I think Kuzma felt like he was really hot and probably took like not the best three like on one of those possessions.
Kentavious Caldwell-Pope always thinks he's hot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, always.
Like, there, it's weird because he plays sometimes on offense like an irrational confidence guy.
Yeah.
But then he does not talk like an irrational confidence guy. He does not sound like he has any confidence whatsoever. So.
To each their own, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess I talk like an irrational confidence guy, and I should walk around as if I have no confidence. I mean, we're KCP, you and I are the anti each other.
You have unjustified confidence. That's fair to say.
Yeah, I would probably agree. We're going to take a couple questions here from Twitter like we said we were going to. This is a question that we get a bunch, but what do you think happens if this team strikes out in free agency again this year? I mean, Magic Johnson has literally
The verbatim quote, we're going to kick the can down the road.
Yeah.
Not actually verbatim quote, but kind of, paraphrase. Yeah.
And so, I mean, I want to know where that phrase came from, kicking the can down the road. I guess it's just like, it's like when you're down on your luck and you're walking along the street and you just find a rock or a can.
Stupid can, yeah. Just kick it.
I guess that would be it. We figured it out.
Yeah.
Good job, us. Fist bump.
I just realized what you just did. That was hurtful. All right. So anyway.
Last question
here. Yeah. Friend of the show, Alpha_Brain, he asks,
are we stupid?
Are we stupid and why do the rotations suck? So,
or maybe he's saying, why are we stupid and why do the rotations suck?
Why are we stupid specifically seems like a question for my parents. But
or me.
Yeah, or Anthony. Mm-hmm. But as far as why do the rotations suck, I have no idea. It's strange. We talked about this a little bit. It's weird that they keep going to these lineups that, like, one theory that we were kind of batting around in the fourth quarter is it just like, is he just going with the guys who just are kind of chill and kind of like do the right things and practice all the time and are easy to manage? And like, they had a lineup out there that was probably one of the most chill lineups in NBA history. It was Ingram, Lonzo, KCP, Nance, and who was the other?
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Kuzma.
Yeah.
Who's like also very low maintenance. And so, I don't know. I don't know if that's I don't want to just like assume that that's what's going on, but.
I really think it comes down to...
Like, I think Luke has a tighter leash on Randall. I think that much is very clear. When Randall does something he doesn't like, his response is punishment, and it's go to the bench. And with other guys, I think he gives them a little bit more rope, and he gives them a little bit more encouragement. At least that's how it appears from the outside.
I mean, look at what he said about Nance, right? He said, he criticized Nance in about the nicest way that I have ever seen somebody criticize, where he said that basically... We think we can see more from Larry Nance Jr. And that would lead you to believe like more production, whatever. I want to give him the green light. I want him to go out there and do his thing. And you know, when you look at what with Randall at the beginning of the season, he was literally giving him a red light, telling him, no, get the rebound and find Lonzo
Ball. Don't do what you're best at.
Yeah. And look, it's a little weird. And maybe Luke is figuring out these guys as he goes along too. I mean, again, he has 1 year of experience with Lonzo, 1 year of experience with he's on his second year of experience with everybody else. This is his first year with Lonzo. It's just it's a brand new team, and it's hard when you don't have that consistent voice that you're always used to understanding how to navigate with. And this is kind of the byproduct of it. Regarding the rotation, the thinking was there. Right, the thinking was always there that, look, we aren't a very good team. Our starters are never going to be the kind of lineup that goes out there and beats teams. So we just got to hope they can tread water in our second unit.
Playing arguably your three best players off the bench is just never going
to
make sense.
No, I would agree. I would agree that, I mean, I'm just trying to explain what I think is the
logic. No, I think that's the thought process, but you just can't. It just doesn't work long term. It's not sustainable.
And what the hope here is that they realize that, just like Luke recognized that he made a mistake in tonight's game, at some point, somebody, whether it's in the assistant coaches area or whatever it might be, with the Dodgers, you could pretty easily say that, you know, they're getting direction from on high. At some point, somebody needs to point out to Luke, this needs to change, and it needs to change rather quickly.
Yep.
All right, that'll do it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast, live edition. This was a lot of fun. Now that Harrison is going to spend a few less days at the day spa, we think we might be able to get this going. Harrison is definitely going to wallop me as soon as we go off camera here in a second. I'm Anthony Irwin. That is Harrison Fagan. I'm going to go put some cucumber in my eyes. Have a good one, everybody. Thank you.